decided to go ahead and take a shortcut on my way to my hometown where I grew up. And I noticed that on the map there was this little exit that connected to some county roads that would take me on a more direct route to Highway 19. And so I decided to get off the freeway, and as I drove through this tiny town, there was it kind of caught my eye because it was exploding with new housing developments and all these new homes and like six bars, but there was only one church there to serve the community. And I realized that there was no way that that one church could possibly reach all the people that were moving to this community and looking for some sort of spiritual home. Well, after spending some time in the community, talking to community members, after dedicating some time to some prayer walks, I sensed that God was calling me to this place. That it was here that all the gifts and graces that God had given me up to that point came together. And I was realizing that God was calling me to start a church here in Elkhorn Market. Well, it'd be another 10 years before I would officially be appointed to start the church. And 2 years after that, before we'd be working full-time and starting weekly weekly services here. But it was 5 years ago today, actually, that we launched our very first weekly worship services here in Elkhorn Market. Now, it was a day that was filled with excitement, and it was a day that humbled me at the same time. Because as much as I thought we had prepared for that moment, I realized that we were completely dependent upon God. In fact, often when people would ask me how we were doing, I would say, well, I never realized how faithless I was as a pastor. What do I mean by that? Well, up to that point, I had always served existing congregations that were well established in their communities. The first church that I was a part of was started in 1855. And through 150 years of church history, I actually followed through some of the families that had been there and discovered that there were families that traced their roots back 9 generations to the early pioneers that settled that community and started that church. It was at that moment that I realized it didn't matter what the weather was like outside, it didn't matter who I was as a preacher or what pastor was there or just how bad I messed things up my first few years, there were people that were going to be there every week because it was their church. They were invested in it. We may not have 9 generations that have worshipped here in Elkhorn Market together yet, but God is still doing some great things in our midst. We started our church in 2013 with small groups and monthly outreach events that were really meant to engage our community and raise awareness. Some of you, some families like Adam and Melissa Giles and Corey Sheila Grissom, they go back all the way to day one when we started small groups, even before we had worship services. Then we started doing monthly preview services, and we saw families like Russ and Susan Maloney came, and I can't remember if the Turgeons came to a preview service first or if it was Easter Sunday, but it was right around that beginning, and Gordon and Julie Giles, they're in the picture that will be behind me as well. But then on April 5th, we launched, Easter Sunday of 2015, we launched our weekly services. And it's been a blessing to serve our extended communities these past 5 years. We have seen God change lives through small groups and Bible studies. We have seen friends inviting other friends to come to church. We have been a part of sharing God's love with people who have come to faith for the very first time. We have counseled families through hard times and grief. We have seen relationships restored. We have seen freedom from addiction. We have met our community at those intersections where faith and life meet. And I'm not going to lie, there have been times of doubt, but so many times I have been completely blown away by how God has been there for us. And God has reminded us over and over, has reminded me over and over again that He's got this. If only I would continue to follow Him. In these times of crisis, it's important that we look back and see all that God has done and all the ways that God has been with us before. For God's faithfulness in the past gives us hope for the future and can strengthen our faith today. Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover with his disciples. And as they shared that meal together, they remembered the story of how God had delivered his people up out of Egypt. It was the signature event in their history and in their faith story. A story of a God who cared about the plight of his people. A God who acted on their behalf. A God who is faithful as they wandered through the wilderness and entered into the promised land today. today we have a God who is still a God who can deliver us and guide us through our own wilderness. God continued to act on their behalf as he raised judges and kings and prophets to lead his people. Jesus reminded them of this story because now God was about to write a new chapter in sending his son, Jesus, the Messiah, to give his life for us so that we might find life, light, and love. God's faithfulness in the past gives us hope for the future and strengthens our faith today. You see, God has been with us each step of the way over the past 5 years of our new church start. And I'm so excited about what God has in store for us in the next 5 years and beyond. Crossroads Church is a vital part of this community. And God is using our church to make a difference in people's lives, even during this time of social distancing. While we may be a long ways away from having 9 generations of worshipers here in the same church, I have been blessed to see the ways that you, the people of Crossroads, have stepped up to really make Crossroads what it is today, to be a place where faith and life meet. You have invested of yourselves deeply in the life of this church for the sake of sharing the gospel and bringing light, life, and love to those intersections where faith and life meet. We will continue to reach out in love and acceptance so all may become fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ here at Crossroads. And we thank you so much for being a part of that journey with us and for celebrating with us today.
Crossroads Church, congratulations on 5 years of worship and ministry in the Elko New Market, Mission Field, and beyond. May God bless and keep you in the years ahead. To God be the glory.
Thank you, Cynthia. We're going to begin our first reading here today. It comes from Zechariah 9.
Mom, Benjamin gave away our donkey.
Wait, what?
He gave away our donkey. We were playing outside, and there was 2 men, and they came up, and they said they needed our donkey, and Benjamin gave it away.
Benjamin, why on earth would you do that? You know we needed that donkey. You know how Dad saved and invested so that we could get a new donkey to replace the old donkey that had been leading our church trailer.
But I know, but they said they needed it. It was for something important.
I don't care what it was for. You can't just give away our donkey without asking.
But Mom!
Not now, Tirza. Your brother is in big trouble.
Mom, they said it. The teacher told them where to find it. They need to be one reading before I told
their teacher?
Their teacher. And they need to do it just, and they said we just got it.
Their teacher? Huh.
Yeah, it was Jesus, Mom. We saw Jesus. He came in riding on a donkey in a big parade.
Mm-hmm. Everyone filled the street shouting, Hosanna. Blessed be the one who comes in the name Hosanna in the highest.
Yeah, it was a little strange, Mom. People started taking off their jackets and throwing them into the streets, and they even cut off branches and started waving them and placing them in the streets. It was kind of like a parade gift for a king.
Huh. So all of this, the donkey, was for Jesus, the one that they call the Messiah? Boy, that does change things a bit. Huh. Thank you guys for telling me about this. You know, this really does make me think of the prophecy in Zechariah 9:9. Where he talks about your king riding a donkey. Zechariah 9:9 says, Rejoice, O people of Zion, shout in triumph, O people of Jerusalem, look, your king is coming to you. He is righteous and victorious, yet he is humble and riding on a donkey, riding on a donkey's colt. You know, I've always thought it was strange that Jesus comes to Jerusalem riding on a donkey. I mean, really, when we think about it in our day and in our time and context, wasn't there some more glorious, rigorous-looking animal that he could have been riding on? But Jesus, in his great wisdom, actually had a few messages that he was sending by choosing to ride on a donkey. First of all, a donkey would have been a sign that he was coming in peaceful, civil manner, not for military purposes, which it would have been very different for some of the Jews who thought that Jesus was going to lead some great triumphant victory. But Jesus instead says, I come in peace. And the fact that Jesus was riding on a colt, which is an animal that had not been ridden on before, was a sign of a sacred entrance. He was making known who he was by choosing a colt. And the beautiful thing is, you know, Jesus could have had a number of ways of getting that donkey ready. He could have bought one for him and his disciples to use. He could have had one arranged. But instead, he invites people into the story by going and asking for a donkey that belonged to another family. He was always there for the common people, right? He made himself available for everyone. You know, as this whole COVID-19 thing has been going on, I have given great consideration to posting a meme on Facebook that goes something like this. All hands are risen and people are rejoicing, and it says, introverts be like, yay, there is a God. And on the bottom, there'd be another little meme that says, no. And extroverts would be like, God, where did you go? I mean, isn't it true that we've had so many different reactions through all of this? I have to admit that COVID-19 and having to be in isolation has been hard for me. I love people, and I love being around people, and I love that part of ministry, a great big part of ministry, is that we get to do life with lots of people. And I've found that I've been battling a little bit of depression. I've been doing all the right things. I've been taking care of myself. But as I noticed these feelings that were coming up, at the same time, I felt guilty because I recognized that there are people who are really sick. There are people who are being greatly impacted by this virus. I mean, there are people who are dying, and there are loved ones who have lost people from this sickness. Our economy is being affected. People have lost their jobs. And I can't help but have a heavy heart for those who are in abusive situations, particularly children, where school was their place to escape. And now, who knows what is happening? I was having a conversation via Facebook chat with a friend of mine earlier this week, and we were talking about the both and recognizing that it's okay to be both and. I'm both concerned for how this is affecting and impacting me and the feelings that I'm finding myself in and how I need to take care of myself and my family during this. But at the same time, and knowing how this is impacting others. And also enjoying those moments where I get to spend extra precious time with my family, and hopefully other people are able to take a moment to relax and refresh and take a break from life. It's the both and, right? And what's cool is that this moment, Palm Sunday, Jesus really was in the both and. I mean, here, he's entering Jerusalem in a manner that said who he was. And I can't help but think that he celebrated that moment, that the people recognized him as king and honored who he was as God. He was worthy to be praised, and the people were praising him. But at the same time, and he knew what was coming. He knew the things he was going to endure. He knew why he was going to Jerusalem. I mean, he really puts himself in a vulnerable place in this position. He allows himself to be with others, and he's vulnerable in the way that he makes himself known to the Pharisees. He can't hide. He's on public display here. It's the both and. Our scripture reading for today comes from Luke chapter 19, verses 28 through 44, which says this. After telling this story, Jesus went on toward Jerusalem, walking ahead of his disciples. As he came to the towns of Bethpage and Bethany on the Mount of Olives, he sent two disciples ahead. Go into that village over there, he told them. As you enter it, you will see your donkey tied and that no one has ever ridden. untie it and bring it here. And if anyone asks why you're untying that colt, just say, the Lord needs it. So they went and they found the colt, just as Jesus had said. And sure enough, as they were untying it, the owners asked, why are you untying that colt? And the disciples simply said, the Lord needs it. So they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their garments over it for him to ride on. And as he rode along, the crowds spread out their garments on the road ahead of him. When he reached the place where the road started, down the Mount Olives, all his followers began to shout and sing as they walked along, praising God for all the wonderful miracles that they had seen. Blessings on the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven, glory in the highest heaven. But some of the Pharisees among the crowd said, Teacher, rebuke your followers for saying things like that. And Jesus replied, if they kept quiet, the stones along the road would burst out into cheers. But as he came closer to Jerusalem and saw the city ahead, he began to weep. Oh, how I wish today that you of all people would understand the way to peace. But now it's too late, and peace is hidden from your eyes. Before long, your enemies will build ramparts against your walls and encircle you and close in on you from every side. They will crush you into the ground and your children with you. Your enemies will not leave a single stone in place because you do not recognize it when God visited you. I've always pictured Palm Sunday as sort of one of those almost more ritualistic sort of Sundays. You know, we know the script, the text that we're going to read from. We know what it's going to look like. We look forward to these kinds of Sundays. The rest of the year, we have different, you know, things that we preach and say. But Palm Sunday, we kind of know what to expect. And yet, during this time of uncertainty, I feel like God has been showing me Palm Sunday in a new way. I mean, there's Jesus coming in great triumph, but also knowing what's ahead, feeling vulnerable, and inviting us into that same vulnerable place. It's interesting how even in physical distancing, I have been reminded of how much I need to lean on the presence of God and how much I lean on others. It's brought me back to a vulnerable place, knowing that I can't make it through this time without my family and without people that I care about. And though I miss people, I continue to lean on them. Maybe you can relate. Maybe you're feeling the both and. Maybe you're feeling vulnerable. Maybe you're enjoying this time, getting a break from work and the break from the chaos. Or maybe this has left you feeling lonely. But we are reminded that God is with us. That Jesus doesn't leave our side. You know, even though our feelings may not catch up or it may take a while, God sees us and he carries us through this time. I had this image during a time of prayer earlier this week where I was riding a horse, a big, strong, beautiful horse. And this horse was carrying me through all kinds of seasons and different times. At one point, even laid down on the horse and saw that I was sleeping, and other times we were riding joyfully together. I said, Jesus, where are you with this horse? I felt like Jesus said, I am like that horse. I am your strong place that will carry you through all these different times. And Jesus is carrying us through this. As we enter into Holy Week and we think about the sacrifice that Christ makes for us, we also think about how vulnerable God made himself for us, for our sake. We can enjoy that place, the value of being vulnerable, and live in the both and. You pray with me. Gracious and loving God, thank you that you work beyond all circumstances, beyond all things. You invite us into vulnerable places so that you can show us who you are and how you're working. So God, we lean on you, we look to you, and we see new ways that we can be community together during this time. We praise you, God, in all you do. In Jesus' holy and precious name.